Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I don't know if you guys saw that in worship, but she taps me and goes, "Look," and Pastor Alyssa was holding Kinsley, my youngest granddaughter, and she had her hand up, Pastor Alyssa did, and Kinsley had her hand up too. And they, she was, you know what children are absorbing and doing? What they see us do. And I thought that was just, you know, there's a message there, but I said, film it. You know, film that. I love it. They're going to grow up and run the church. All these kids around here, not just my own, but Rosie, yours too, Cassandra, they're all going to run the church. They are. They're going to be telling us how it is. We're going to be sitting on the front row like Mother Dee Dee, knowing more than all of them and celebrating them, Pastor Glenn and all of our elders who we love so much. But I am excited about the next generation and the deposit that is being made in them, and keep them covered in prayer, because the enemy's really trying his best to tear up another generation, tear up a generation. I have a good word for you. That was on my mind this morning, thinking about it. I went and picked Oliver up from school on Friday and had Piper with me, and I love car rides with him. When we're at home, we run around and play and all of that, but in the car, we talk about Jesus and talk about the future and where they're from and where they're going. And I was driving by Alfred Matthews on the way home. This kind of has to do with the message. I'll segue in. But I was driving by Alfred Matthews, the Cadillac dealership there on McHenry. And we happened to catch the light right in front of the dealership. And I look over, and all of a sudden I had an epiphany. And I thought, and I just started talking about it. Oliver's ears just perked right up. And I said, I can remember sitting in there as a upper-level manager and just trying to get control of my soul because there were so many things going on. You know, when you work with over 100 employees, you deal with people. Pastor Liz, I know you know this. As an HR manager, and I was thinking, there's a calling on my life. There's been so many things that have been spoken over my life. And I know I'm called to leadership, and I'm making excellent money right now, but I know there's a prophetic word over my life that I'm to preach the gospel. And I know this isn't all there is. And I remember the tension between the money I was making and the calling on my life, and knowing that I would probably go through a season where there wouldn't be as much money, and that I needed to trust God with that. And I started to hear the calling of God to leave the corporate world and to do what I'm doing today. But, you know, I had to make that decision. And I remember sitting at my desk and God saying, trust me with this plan. I have a plan, and it's good, and you're going to need to trust me with this plan. And I didn't know what all he had planned. In fact, when I left, I knew I was to preach, but I didn't know I was going to be pastoring a church in Modesto yet. I just knew I was going to step up and fulfill the calling of God on my life. So I began to talk about it. I said, Oliver, you know, I used to work there at this place, and I didn't sell the cars, but I took care of the people, because he doesn't understand words like manage and all that. I said, I took care of all the people there, and I made sure they got their money, you know, after work, and I paid them and gave them their money. And he said, well, how come you're not there no more? Kids ask great questions. And I said, well, because Jesus began to speak to me in my heart. Like I knew, he didn't say, "Hey, Grammy." You know, I said, but it's like a thing you just know. And he goes, "Oh, you know." He's like all the way in right now. And I said, you know, it's something you just know. Like, you know, and you need to do whatever it is that you're thinking about in that moment because you know that's God. He's putting that thought in your mind. He goes, I said, so he was saying to me in my thoughts, you need to come, go home and be with Papa and let Papa make the money and help you run the household, and you need to study the Bible, and you need to take everything that Papa Ira told you and said to you, and you need to do that. And he said, did Papa Ira read the Bible? I said, yeah, he did, but his eyes started to go bad, and so I read the Bible to him. And he said, was he your age, or my age? I said, almost. He was a little bit older. I was a little bit older than you. Were you my age? That's what he said. So I was a little bit older than you. And he goes, oh. He said, I can read the Bible pretty soon. Pretty soon. And so, you know, we had this little conversation. I said, you know, then once I went home to our house, and I stayed home and let Papa make the money, then I started studying my Bible, and I started praying that God would give me places to talk and speak. He goes, yeah, because you stand on a platform and you talk on the stage. I said, yeah, I do. And I said, you know what, Ira? I mean, Oliver, I think someday you might do that too, because your middle name is Ira, just like your Papa Chuck. And he said, oh, yeah, I talk. I talk all the time. So he's already leaning into that, right? And I said, yeah, but, you know, I talk about Jesus. And he goes, And Aunt Moon, she sings about Jesus. And so I just want you to know, these kids are watching us, and they know what we do. And they're looking at us, and they're formulating already, like, plans for their own life, whether we know that or not. But, you know, to this subject, I had to believe when I left the corporate world that God had a good plan. It had been a long time coming. You know, Mom and Dad didn't get to see the fulfillment of all they prayed for, but they set in motion with their faith and their prophetic words what I'm doing today. And I wanted to encourage you, because I had another epiphany when Pastor Rick was dying. His body was dying. I refuse to say he died, because he's alive forevermore. But I had another epiphany that I was going to go through another season where things were going to change. There was going to be a lot of change, whether I wanted it to or not. But the same way that God had a good plan when I left the corporate world, and there was a season of hiddenness in my life, there was a season where no one heard me preach, no one opened a door for me, no one was calling and booking me as a speaker. No one was doing any of that. God was preparing me to do that, but I had to be obedient in that season of hiddenness and get ready. Get out of God's way, as the song was sang this morning. Get out of God's way and just start to do what I could do so that He could do what only He could do. Some of you are in that place right now where God is doing something in you, and He's preparing you right now for something. And you know it. Some of you are being prepared for someone. God has people that he wants to align you with. And the assignment that he has for you together is going to require change. He's preparing them for you. He's preparing you for them. And God is wanting to take you to a whole new level. And sometimes it feels like a setback. But it's never a setback. It's a setup. Some of you are exiting the mistakes of the past. And some of you are exiting the mistakes of your parents' past. Next year, I'm going to be talking about mother wounds and father wounds and us getting completely healed and understanding what our triggers are and why we keep doing the things that we've done in the past that have sabotaged our greatness and sabotaged the things that God has for us on the horizon. And I want you to know this. God is in the process of healing you. He's in the process of healing you of trauma and drama and all of the things of the past. And for some of you, that's where you are. For some of you, you've already gone through a lot of healing. And you're so healed that right now you are kind of in a place of obscurity. There are things that have detached from your life. There are things that have sloughed off of your life. And you're starting to feel the loneliness of that, the discomfort of that. And God's saying to you, be still and know that I'm God, because I don't want you to make a lateral move in terms of relationships and connections with people who were at that last level. Am I talking to anyone this morning? This is just straight from the Lord. He's saying, you're not going to make a lateral move and keep connecting to the same unhealthy people that you were attracting in that last season because of your brokenness. You're about ready to connect to people that are whole and that are going to walk with you, and you're going to have a whole new level of familial relationships, of business relationships, of ministry relationships, and all of that. And he's saying, deal with the discomfort of this season and know this. I have a good plan. I always have a good plan. That's the name of this sermon this morning, that God always has a good plan. Now, and I'm going to get into some text here, but there was a word that God gave me as I was standing beside Pastor Rick's bedside, and I was watching his spirit depart. And it was, you know, right there in that 5 o'clock hour. The children were all gathered and we were quiet and we were waiting on the Lord. And the Lord said to me, you've trusted my heart, even though you didn't understand my plan. And you don't understand my plan right now. And you've resolved yourself. There it is. There's that word intrepid. You've resolved yourself to have rock solid faith. You believe that I'm always right. Because I'd ask God, and I've shared this with you multiple times. What do you want me to know, and what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to know I'm always right. And I want you to be an example. And the Lord said, you've always believed that I'm right, even when wrong things are happening. And he said something that comforted my heart. And in that moment, it catapulted. I was already ahead of Pastor Rick's last breath. You know that God can say something to you that will catapult you all the way ahead of the worst thing you're about to face. And what he said, and this will be the content of this message today, is he said, I'm delivering you from, not someone bad, but he said something bad. And I'm delivering you to something bad. Great. Something good. Something great. And he said, I know what I'm doing. How many of you as a parent have said to your child, trust me, I know what I'm doing? And they still want what they want. They're still mad at you because you're not giving them what they want. What they're comfortable with. And you're telling them, I know what I'm doing. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. So hard for kids to accept that. Because you're the parent. And when you want what's best for your child, you will tell them that. And they may pitch a fit about it. They may not understand it. They may cry in the moment. But you have intent to give them something good and something better. And I want to say this to you, all of you who are listening right now, and if you're listening to this in the archive, it doesn't matter when you listen to it. It's going to be as fresh and as hot off the press and as much rhema, a right now word, as it is right now, today, December 5th, 2021, when I'm speaking this word. I got this on July 22nd, 2020. Say this, God, I believe you're delivering me from something inferior and taking me to something superior. Now give him praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God spoke that word to me, and I got up and I was like, you know what? I cried, and that was right in the middle of the worst of the grief. But it was shortly after that I began to write this series, this message. And so God says there's five things. He told me there's five things I want you to remember when you're waiting on my plan. Five things. God doesn't just plan to deliver you from something bad. He intends to deliver you to something good. Your current outcome is not your final outcome. So don't give up on God's good plan when a current outcome is not what you prayed or hoped it would be. Re-anchor your hope to God, not anyone or anything else. Okay? So many times we want an outcome right now that isn't manifesting right now, and we can falter in our faith because an outcome is different than we desire. Okay, and so God gives his people in Jeremiah 29:11, and I love this verse. It's a life verse for me, and I want to look at it in a couple different versions, but this is the one that God gave me to really meditate on in that season. He's speaking to his people. They had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. That's about the average human lifespan now is a little longer than that, but you can say they were there a lifetime, practically. There for a lifetime. And I want to speak to that because many of you have felt like you've spent your whole life believing God for something, and now it's been a very, very long time, and the situation hasn't changed. But I want to say this because God wanted to say it. He's an on-time God. And he knows what he's doing. And he speaks to them through the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, for I know, and this is God speaking, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. Okay, so your current outcome is not your final outcome. There are other outcomes that God has for you. And just because something didn't happen the way you planned it, doesn't mean that God doesn't still have a good plan, okay? And in the message, I like the way it reads. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. Say that. God, you know what you're doing. God tells him, I have it all planned out. Plans, not one, multiple. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans, plural, to give you the future you hope for. The Lord just sent me here today to tell you something. Many times we get stuck on one plan And we don't realize that God has multiple ones. God has one destiny for you, one destination. But he has many ways to get you there. God is not shocked or surprised when someone that was running in a season with you and you had plans with them and they drop out of the plan. God wants you to know it doesn't alter his plan. His plan is still good. And he knows what he's doing. And he's not going to be a day late. He's not going to be a day early either. Because he said not a day before. Oh, we want to rush things. Oh, Lord, we want to rush things. We tell him, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for that. And he says, no, you're not. I'll use improper grammar. You ain't ready. Honey, you ain't ready. You almost ready, but you ain't ready. You getting ready. Some of you aren't even dressed yet for the date that's about ready to come for you. Yeah? There's things that God wants to do to transform your thinking. He's elevating your thinking to a whole nother level so that you can operate with people that can make love to your mind and not just want your body. Not just want your money. He's bringing people into your life that know how to talk to your spirit and not just your head. And he's saying to you, many of you, the devil's been trying to get you to settle in a place that I never intended for you to be. It's like Abraham's daddy got the promise first and he settled in Haran. He didn't go all the way, as Pastor Glenn says. You know, he didn't go all the way. He didn't follow God's plan to the full. Why? Because the journey was hard. And he settled. The Bible says he settled there. And God had to skip a generation and go get his boy and say, look, I still have a promised land. It's still your family's promised land. And God ups the ante. He finds a guy with a wife that's sterile or, you know, barren. I want you to hear this morning. God still has a plan. God had a plan for my legacy and for my mom and dad's legacy. Even though mama died with colon cancer in her body died and she went on to heaven. And daddy, I feel like daddy's life was cut short as well. And they had all these hopes and dreams for their children and for this city. And you know, there's so many people cursing Modesto, and it looks like the churches in many areas are DOA, but there's still a remnant that's rising right now, and they love God, and the fire of God is starting to burn brighter and brighter and brighter in their life against the backdrop of the darkness that is out there permeating this culture, and a great light is about ready to arise, and the Lord's glory is rising upon you, and I'm telling you that every word that God spoke is about ready to be manifested in our life, and I'm not waiting for every seat to be filled for me to believe God and to understand that the vision he gave me will be fulfilled. I believe it now before I ever see it, and I've had to believe it through every storm and every circumstances, and whether I have a spouse standing next to me in person or I have Almighty God, King Jesus, my Jehovah ish husbandman standing right here helping me get the bride ready. I still have a husband that's going to help me get this job done, and I thank God for that. Amen? There's still a good plan. So So the second thing God wants to know is this. Without a vision of God's good thoughts and plans, people stumble. They become hopeless and perish. But when God releases a redemptive prophetic revelation, a vision of a brighter future, and people grab it by faith, they flourish and they reach their full potential. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, no prophetic revelation, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And God will tell you what he's doing. He will. He doesn't tell you everything he's doing, but he'll tell you, this is what I'm doing in you right now. How many of you have heard that from the Lord? This is what I'm doing in you right now. You're like, oh, okay. This isn't meant to break you. It's meant to make you. What I said is still going to come to pass. When God talks to you like that, you don't stumble all over the place. You're like, oh, okay. God's speaking to many of you in this season. And he's saying, attend to what I reveal to you. Attend to it. And it, for you, it's going to be different than it was for me. And it is for me. And the Lord told me, just stay still. Worship me through this season. Don't make choices out of pain. Make them out of purpose. See, and that's what I've been attending to. You guys have watched me. I'm attending to that. And to the ultimate vision that God gave me. We're going to have land. We're going to have the structures. It'll be debt-free. We'll have the building. We'll have the, you know, all the other things. The house of prayer. It will all come back. And it will be better. And it will be stronger. And we will have the army of prophetic worshipers. Yes, we will. And just because we were stumped and we were pruned. And let me tell you, we needed to be pruned because there was some filthy, ungodly stuff trying to get aligned with this house. And you know what? I love every single person that God pruned off. But they can't go where we're going because they didn't grow through what we went through. You know what? God is bringing people that will grow through it with you. And if they can't grow through it with you, they got to go. And it's painful. It's like a death. And we miss those people. But like the dream that was released this morning, you know, don't let what happened in the past rob you of your love for his presence. We are a people of God's presence. That is what we are known by. We are a people of his word. We are a people who believe that salvation is for this city. It is for this state. It is for this nation. It is for the world. We are a people that believe that God is going to reap a harvest, and we are going to help him bring it in the name of Jesus. I need to hurry up. Part two. But you know, this whole part of hurrying up, I believe, that's part of the temporary thing that we did during COVID. You know, I can do an hour service because some cootie's going to jump up your nose and kill you. You know, it's like, no. I'm not going to rush the Holy Spirit. If God still has something to say, you know. Remember when we could be here for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and the Lord was moving and he was prophetically speaking into our life and we were so hungry for God? You know, we got around and we ate lunch, but it didn't kill us to actually sit through a whole service. And we don't have two services, and I don't really give a rip anymore. I'm not going to put God on a time clock, right? I'm not going to do it. This is important. Look, I can hear these scriptures every single day, and they're fresh to me because God's word is not stale. It's fresh bread, and he's speaking to us. You've got to get a picture of where you're going and not where you've been. I even been thinking about bringing Picture It back in a little mini-series because, you know, it's time to get your picture out. Even the world knows you got to have a vision board. If you want things to manifest in your life, you got to start looking at what you want. Yeah? And not just pray for what you want, but you got to become. You got to become that, right? And God's working on personal development right now, and he's saying, get a vision for your health. Come on, get a vision for your marriage. Come on, revision it. There were so many stages of Pastor Rick and I's marriage, and it just progressively got better and better and better. And you know what? It's possible in your own life. I'm not eliminating the possibility of marriage, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to marry down. I'm not going to marry somebody so full of all this and try to pull all this in some little thimble that can't handle all this. Amen. God's saying, increase your capacity. Come on, look at yourself. Allow yourself to grow inside. He says, I'm bringing you people that are of the same caliber, that are going to be able to run beside you, going to understand the depths of what I've done inside of you, that will not be breaking you, but helping you make the things possible that I have called for you to do. Woo! The Amplified says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. We need to get a new revelation of God. Many of the church have downsized God to fit COVID. My God's bigger than COVID. We don't downsize God to fit our circumstances. Well, God's only this big because COVID's in the earth. So now we got to just bow down to politicians and everybody else that tells us we got to poison our body or our brain or whatever to get healed. We need to get a new redemptive revelation of God. Psalm 3, David starts talking about, I got enemies, they're chasing me, Lord. Man, they swarm me like bees. He's telling God exactly what's going on. But you know what? I wrote this devotional yesterday, but you, Lord. You honor me. You are my glory. You're the one that gives me victory and restores my courage. You lift my head. Yeah, things are bad, but you, Lord, but you, Lord, but you, Lord. You know what David did and why he was able to complete the assignment on his life? Because he acknowledged all the drama and the trauma and the problems and the betrayal. That's when his son Absalom was chasing him and trying to take over the kingdom. David's heart and his assignment were under assault. Listen, some of you had your heart and your assignment under assault. But it didn't change the anointing that God put on David's life and the calling that he put on his life to rule and reign over his people. And no cray-cray family member who was trying to circumvent the authority and the anointing that was placed on David's life could change the good plan that God had for him. David had to continually get a new redemptive picture of who God was and what God said. And David acknowledged the bad, but he also turned and said, but you, Lord, you are going to lift me up. And he just went right back to worship, and he just called the army and got the singers. And you know, even when they stole the presence of the Lord, they lost it in battle because they were being stupid. David went back and got it. I need to shut this because I have too much content and not enough time. Let's go to that other third one. Was I on the third one? We've all had seasons where our plan didn't work out, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a good plan. Number four, never allow a bitter season to turn into a bitter life. You know, David didn't allow his life to become bitter. David got better and better and better. And you know what? That's what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but I'm getting better. How many of y'all are getting better? You're making a choice. The world's not getting better and better and better, but we don't acclimate to what the world is doing. You got to decide. It may be a bitter season, but this season is passing, and I'm leaving it, and I'm coming into one where I'm better. Yes, God always has good thoughts and plans for your future, but he needs you to cooperate by dreaming a new dream with him. Some of you have been dreaming new dreams with them. And them, they aren't getting the dream from God. If they're not dreaming with him, you need to get away from them. I put that in there for a reason. Dreaming a new dream with him and grabbing it by faith. Capital H. Thank you, Matt. Matthew, I was telling the Lord this morning. Thank you for my Matthew. Send me a Mark, Luke, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Stephen. Amen. Send me all. All of y'all are disciples. But this is what God's asking us to do. And, you know, we typically start doing this toward the end of the year. Oh, what's, you know, we set all these New Year's resolutions. We start to dream about 2022 and after the first demonic attack in January. We put away our vitamins and our exercise equipment. Charting our weight. Journaling all the breakthroughs that we're expecting. And we go, oh, I'll do it next year. God wants more than resolutions. He wants resoluteness. And he wants us to believe his word more than ever. Because there's a lot of people that have downsized God to fit the demonic stuff that's going on in this world. And God's saying there's a remnant arising that knows how almighty I am. They see my word. They have a picture of the future. And if you don't have one, just go read in Revelations about heaven. Because if that's not an upgrade, I don't know what is. I love the song this morning. We always have a picture of the future that trumps everything we're going through right now. And if that's our final outcome, then why don't we just live with everything on the track? You know that saying, balls to the wall? I'm going to tell you what that means, okay? Why are y'all laughing like that was dirty? That statement, balls to the wall, I just like saying it. I looked up its origin. I'm going to preach a sermon time called It's Time for Balls to the Wall. Only Pastor Verna could get away with that, right? In military campaigns, when fighter pilots were having to get in an area quick and get the assignment handled, it was a code word for give it all you got. The little handle with the little ball on it. Go faster, forward, come on. It was a code for get moving. Come on, give it more gas. It's time to go forward. It's time to put the balls to the wall. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to end on that because here is where the enemy wants us right now. He wants us stuck. He wants us lethargic. He wants us flying low. He wants us to stay at the same level that we've been at. And the last point on this is that you need to know this. God's about ready to stir up your nest. And you are eagles. You're not chickens. You're not turkeys. You are not called to sit on the ground pecking around waiting for stuff to fall out of heaven for you. You are meant to fly to new heights. You are meant to see things that other people have never seen before. And God is going to disrupt your life. He's going to start to pull out the feathers out of the nest. It says that in the scriptures, that on his pinions he lifts us up and he comes underneath us. And some of you are learning to fly at new heights. I'm telling you, God has a plan to take you places where you may feel uncomfortable being there, but he's preparing you right now for where he's taking you. And the plan that he has for you is good, but it's time for you to do something to move forward. Come on, give it some thrust. Ask God, give me the oomph, give me this, put a new spirit in me, Lord, whatever's holding me back. Even if it's my own limited thinking, show it to me, Lord, so I can let it go. It's time for me to think different. It's time for me to believe more. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I think I finished all my points. Yeah? Your assignment is to put your balls to the wall, or the ball to the wall. Let's just say that. Okay? Whatever that is. Come on, get up, get going. Forward momentum. Gas it, goose it. When in doubt. You know, when I was thumping thugs and dealing drugs, we had one called, when in doubt, get out. Right? When in doubt, get out. And that's what it meant. Whoever was driving, gas it. If it didn't feel right, get out. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for creating me the way you did. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the ability to be authentic and genuine and who you created me to be and who you created these loved ones to be. I thank you, Lord, that in their uniqueness and in their difference, they are great and they are mighty on the earth. And I thank you for the assignments that you're preparing them for. I thank you for the ones that grabbed the assignment that you gave them and they've stayed true and they've remained faithful to what you called them to do. I thank you for all the new things that you're revealing to them in this season. I thank you for the redemptive picture of who you are in their life. I thank you for reminding them that there is nothing impossible with you. I thank you for being the Savior who came that we might have life. And I pray now that if there's one person that's never acknowledged you as their Lord, not just Lord, but their Lord, personal Lord, that they would do so now. And that every dream that you put in their heart would come to pass. Strengthen them now for their yes to you. Many of you listen to these later. Some of you come to church and receive Christ. Many of you watch online or you listen to a podcast somebody shared with you. And I just want you to know that God loves you and that you don't need to be in a so-called church building, walking down an aisle, raising your hand, you know, doing anything like that. You can say yes to the Lord the way I did. I was in a drug room and the Lord was saying, I want to do something great with your life and this isn't it. Say yes to me. And I did. And the rest is a good history. And the Lord wants you to do the same today. And I just want to give you an opportunity to pray a simple prayer. To say yes to Jesus. Yes to eternal life. Yes to healing. Yes to a better destiny. Yes to a great future. One that's so much better than anything you've ever experienced. And I want you to do that right now. Simply open your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, I say yes to you. Forgive me of my sin and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I will be a disciple and follow you. My life will never be the same. Amen and amen. Simple. Jesus said, if you believe that I am Lord and you say it with your mouth, that you become a brand new creation. You're born again. You get eternal life. You get guidance. You get wisdom. You get revelation. So expect that God in His Spirit will begin to show you things like He has me in my life. And He's going to start to direct you into all that He has for you. The journey isn't meant to be easy. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. It's not going to be easy. But with God, you will make it. Where other people won't, you're going to make it. And you're going to fulfill all that He has for you. I bless you. I bless your witness. I bless your family. I bless your finances. I bless your land. I bless your home. I bless everything that is you. And I declare in Jesus' name that we're going to see great things happen through you. Amen and amen.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.